This is Lisa Niver from We Said Go Travel, and I'm so honored today to be here with Deepak Chopra. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, it's so exciting to me. Now, I know often you're introduced as America's foremost spiritual guru, but I have to say that I would like to introduce you today as Malika's dad, because I loved interviewing her. And she talked to me about how you taught her to meditate when she was 9 years old. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, as a parent choosing to introduce meditation to your child, because I know with her book, she's really changed a lot of children's and parents' lives, which of course she learned from you.
Well, I have to say that as a father, I was not there most of the time. And my mother and my wife actually guided a lot of the upbringing of my children, as did my wife's mother. So I was a stressed out doctor at that time. And I thought, since meditation helped me so much, I should introduce it first to my family. And it obviously made a big difference. And also, made it easier for the fact that I was so busy trying to make a living. You have to realize that when my kids were born, actually when Malika was born, we didn't have money to even have the delivery. I was in New Jersey, and I had accepted a position in Boston for my residency. And we were going to move from New Jersey to Boston. And we were told that pre-existing conditions were not covered. And my wife was pregnant. So that was a pre-existing condition. And so actually I had to send my wife to India to have a delivery. At that time, the cost of going to India was $400 both ways. And the cost of delivery in Boston was over $1,000. So I called my father in India. I said, I can't afford to have a child. He said, you're a doctor in the US and you can't afford to have a child. I said, yeah. And by the way, that's still the condition for most poor people in this country. It hasn't changed. I agonized because I realized if Malika was born in India, she could never run for president. But I had no choice. So Malika will never run for president. Because I couldn't afford to have a baby in this United States of America. So during those years when Malika was 9 and Gautam, younger brother, was 6, I was still struggling a lot. I used to work as a resident. My paycheck was less than $400 a month. So I had to actually what they call moonlight in the to make money. And I was moonlighting in an emergency room. So I would work like 24 hours, then go and work 24 hours in an emergency room, sometimes go without sleep for 72 hours. Obviously, I was burnt out. It helped me, meditation. So I introduced it to my kids. And that's how it all started.
That is an incredible story that I think a lot of people will find, especially during this challenging COVID time, to see that you've had such a change in your situation from the stress side and from the financial side, that, you know, that's quite, I can't even think of the right word, pathetic, horrible, awful, that we still consider pregnancy a pre-existing condition. Our insurance and our healthcare is a mess here in the United States.
No, I don't know if it's still considered a pre-existing condition, but maybe it is. It depends on the insurance company. But our health care in this country is abysmal. When we talk about health reform, we're not talking about health reform. We're talking about insurance reform, which of course is important. But you know what this did to me is I felt a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion for people who were struggling financially, number one, for people who were sick, number two, and for the helpless situation that social and economic injustice creates, we have not just social economic justice, we have gender injustice, racial injustice, economic injustice. As a result, we have conflict, war, terrorism, you name it, the whole thing is insane. And, you know, I'm reminded of a quote from the great Indian philosopher, Jay Krishnamurti, who said, to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society is not a measure of your health or well-being. And I personally think right now, when you look at the world, if you don't think it's insane, then you're declaring your own insanity. Any world that where humans are comfortable with climate change, social and economic injustice, extinction of species, eco-destruction, mass pandemics because of a disturbed ecosystem of genetic information, poison in our food chain, nuclear weapons, biological warfare, internet hacking, constant conflict between Republicans and Democrats or Muslims and Hindus or Palestinians and Arabs or Catholics and Protestants. It is totally insane. And therefore, the rest of my life is going to be just hopefully contributing in the small way I can for a more peaceful, just, sustainable, healthier, and joyful world. I'm not interested in anything else right now, in personal achievement or money or abundance. So even though I write about it, because I know that abundance comes from abundance consciousness, and most people I know, billionaires, they confuse net worth with self-worth. So bottom line, the whole thing is a mess.
It is a mess. And I'm glad you're helping lead us in a direction. And it's actually a very good lead into something else I wanted to mention to you, is that I really love the book that you and Gotham worked on, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. Thoroughly.
I love
it. It was Gotham's idea, so it was great.
It's so lovely that both your children are so authentic to their kind of take on, you know, meditation and healing. And I love the part about superheroes, because when you talk about these gigantic world problems that seem insurmountable, it seems like we need superheroes.
We need them, although the superhero is not interested in people who are whose entire life is based on violence. If there are aliens out there, advanced civilizations, they will have nothing to do with us, because we are so low on the scale of evolution that we are basically reptilian brains, and our emotional brains are not developed, and our intellectual brains are only interested in self-importance.
Well, so that brings me to something else that you've worked on for many, many years that I personally have had, it's been so valuable for me. I first learned about your 21-day meditation series 7 years ago when I was getting divorced, and someone recommended them to me. And I literally, if they had been vinyl records, I would have worn them out. I listened so many times.
Well, thank you.
Oh my goodness. Every time I would travel, I would walk in the airport up and down the terminal, just listening to your voice, you and Oprah talking. And it really, really helped me. So thank you, because it's really incredible.
Thank you very much. Thank you for saying that.
And I know now you have such a good new one that's available right now, the free 21-day meditation experience with Alicia Keys about the divine feminine. I love listening to her voice. And can you talk a little bit, how did the two of you decide to do this meditation together?
Well, first of all, I've been writing about and speaking about the divine feminine for a long time, because I do believe that what we see in the world is the dominance right now of a dysfunctional male energy. Everything I mentioned is a problem, is the result of a dysfunctional male energy. So if you look at the divine archetypes in Indian traditions, that's called Shakti. Shakti means divine feminine. And there are many types of Shakti. The Shakti of joy, it's called Ananda Shakti. the Shakti of spontaneous fulfillment of desire is called Ichha Shakti. The spontaneous right action is called Kriya Shakti. Clearing the mind is called Gyan Shakti. Going over the mistakes of the intellect, Gyan Shakti. These are archetypes that have inspired me throughout my life. In the Western world, you also have Greek archetypes, Egyptian archetypes, you have archetypes from Africa. They all embody various motifs or themes. So in Greek mythology, for example, there's Demeter, the mother energy. There's Hera, the power energy. There's Aphrodite, beauty and sexuality. There is Artemis, connection with nature. There's Athena, wisdom and knowledge. There is Hestia, the homemaker. There's Persephone, the healer. So when you look at all these archetypes, you realize that these are the keys for our collective healing. Alicia, I've known for many years. I actually was, I did the ceremony for her marriage many years ago before her child was born. So I know her very well to be an embodiment of some of those energies. So when it was time to do this, I asked her and she said, why not?
Well, I'm enjoying it so much. She obviously has such a beautiful voice, and the way you two work together, it's really beautiful. And I really am enjoying the new version of the app. It's very beautiful, the new Chopra app.
That means a lot. Thank you very much.
And so now in May, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and this Friday is World Meditation Day. And so I know you're about to have this giant Love in Action, Never Alone summit. I know you had one last year. Can you talk about what's going to be happening on Friday?
Yeah, it's going to be over 100 influencers and luminaries talking about why we should never be alone, why we can support each other for a more peaceful, just, sustainable, healthier, and joyful world. And the Never Alone Summit originally was the idea of an actress, Gabriella Wright, who's British and French and part Indian from Mauritius. Her sister, unfortunately, died from suicide, and she became obsessed with helping suicide prevention. We now know that every 40 seconds, somebody is committing or is dying of suicide in the world. It's become the second most common cause of death in teenagers. So we want to address this as more urgent than anything else, the mental health crisis. Now, you know, when we talk about depression and we talk about suffering from depression, we're talking about a lot of things. You know, it's not one thing. So people, if you go to clinicians, they'll classify depression, situational depression, manic depressive, this, that, the other. That's a medical way of addressing what 90% of people experience at some point, which we call sadness. Okay, and it's also fear, sadness, it's loneliness. So we decided that if we can make certain memes, one is attention, giving people the privilege of being heard. The second is affection, letting people know that they are loved. The third is appreciation, being grateful for their presence and their company. Acceptance, accepting them just as they are. That's a start. But then you need to go further. Love in action, because love without action is meaningless. And action without love is irrelevant. But when you have love in action, then the whole world wants to support you. That's why we have 100 speakers. They're luminaries in every area. Poets, songwriters, Hollywood performers, scientists, philosophers, and also following the summit, we're doing a special event, same day, which will be with India, with the Hindutva Foundation, which is a huge foundation. And so we are partnering with the Indian community back in home, my ancestors, and Bollywood entertainers and other luminaries. We hope to gradually reach 1 billion people with just one message, love in action. I think if we do that, we have the hope of a better world. If you don't, we'll have tried.
Wow, 1 billion people. That's quite a global community. That's very impressive.
That's what we want to do. And it may take us time, but what the heck? What else is there to do?
I'm happy to be a part of it. It's a great, amazing goal. And I noticed on the site in the Never Alone Summit that you talked about the building blocks for a new mental health culture.
Yes. Well, basically, the building blocks of a new mental culture requires what social scientists call emergence, shared vision, maximum diversity, gender diversity, racial diversity, ethnic diversity, talent diversity, educational diversity. As I said, everyone from entertainers to story writers, songwriters to philosophers to scientists, shared vision, maximum diversity, complementing each other's strengths, transparency, and being there for each other, we could probably create a better world.
I think that's really beautiful. And I also noticed on the new Chopra website that there's a lot of things to participate in, like retreats and certifications and social media. So are there, one of the things I've noticed is people resistant to meditation is that they think that they're not doing it the right way or in the right place. Like they don't have the right pillow or they don't have the right mindset. Could you speak a little bit to reassure people about that? Really, I know this is in all of the 21-day meditations that everyone can meditate.
Yeah, anyone can meditate. And if you take the time to do it, then you're doing it right. There's no such thing as right or wrong. You can do meditation. There are meditations for 20 seconds and there are meditations for me. I meditate on my death every night for 2 hours. So, you know, meditation's all the way from 10 seconds, half a minute, 3 minutes to as long as you want. It serves many purposes, physical healing, which is biological, emotional healing, and also spiritual insight into the nature of fundamental reality. So the meditations we offer, both on the Chopra app and also in my book, Total Meditation, they are for everyone. And, you know, if meditation is stressful for you and you say you don't have time to meditate even once a day, you need it twice a day. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, what are you going to do at the end of your life? Say, oh, I made a lot of money, this, and the other, and you lost the opportunity to discover yourself. Meditation ultimately is discovering yourself. That's all.
That's very beautiful. Now, I know I see behind you Total Meditation, which I think is your 91st book. Is that correct?
Something like that. And I'm doing a PBS program this at the end of the year on Total Meditation. It'll be shown in 400 public stations all over the country. So I hope with all these things we are doing, whether it's the Chopra Global App or it's Never Alone or Chopra Foundation, it does not matter. The more people that get into personal transformation, whatever their source is, whether it's a business like Chopra Global or foundation or internet or other communities, if we want to reach a billion people, then we need everyone. Okay? And there is, all I ask myself these days, is it going to make a difference? It is going to improve another person's life. It is going to affect somebody's journey in the direction of peace, harmony, laughter, and joy. Then doesn't matter. Just do it. Doesn't matter which platform. And so the more, the merrier.
That's excellent. I wanted to just read one quote from Total Meditation that you wrote that I love so much. You need to live in the present moment with certainty about your purpose. You need to allow what life to unfold without knowing in advance what the future holds. You need to trust that at some level, consciousness is taking you in the right direction. These are the basics, the foundation of being awake.
That's it. So right now, if I asked you, what are you doing right now to regulate your blood pressure, your heart rate, your immune system? What did you do to be where you are from being a fertilized egg to where you are right now? The answer is nothing. Existence takes care of itself if you let go.
I really have to say that for me personally, the meditations have made such a difference, the 21 day meditations. I love your books. I love the books of your children. And I wonder, before we go, thank you so much for spending this time with me. One of my favorite mantras from your book is "So Hum." So before we leave, will you just describe to people what does it mean? And will you say it for people a few times? Because if they just listen to you, they'll know they're already meditating.
So hum is the sound of breath. So is the sound of the inhalation. Hum is the sound of the exhalation. But it also means I am. Not I am Lisa or Deepa. I am the spirit behind Lisa and behind Deepak and behind everything else in the universe. That's what Soham is.
So beautiful. So we want to invite everyone to participate with the Love in Action Summit. And is there a best way for people to get involved, to register?
Just go on the Chopra Foundation website or just go to www.neveralone.love.
That is more of what all of us need. We need love. We need 1 billion people to participate, and we need to all move to having attention, appreciation, affection, acceptance, and I look forward to participating in the Never Alone Summit. Deepak, thank you for your wisdom, your inspiration, and for being with me here today.
Lisa, it's a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye then.